Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynam. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. We are in for a huge treat today as Ken Ham, the founder of Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and the Ark Encounter, is joining us to discuss God's designs in dinosaurs. Mr. Ken Ham knows a whole lot about dinosaurs, and I am so excited to dig in. Before we bring on our guest, let's thank our sponsor who made this special guest episode possible, Masterbooks. Our guest today, Ken Ham, has written so many great books about dinosaurs. He writes and publishes books with Masterbooks, a company devoted to helping families grow together in wisdom, wonder, and faith through books and resources that always point back to Christ. Our family loves Ken Ham's dinosaur books for kids, including Dinosaurs for Kids and Dinosaurs of Eden. Kids, if you are curious about dinosaurs, pick up a copy of these books. They are amazing. We love the colorful images and diagrams that help us see what it was really like when dinosaurs roamed the earth and how dinosaurs showcase God's wonder and wisdom. As a parent, I love that my kids are learning about dinosaurs from a biblical worldview and growing in faith as they discover how big and small some dinosaurs were, how they moved around, what they ate, and how each one was unique. These books are full of scripture, amazing images, and easy to understand descriptions so we can glimpse God's wisdom and creativity in dinosaurs. When my family sees a Masterbooks logo on a book, we know it's a resource we can trust and that will help us grow in faith and wonder. Click the link in our show notes to order Dinosaurs for Kids and Dinosaurs of Eden and to explore all of Masterbooks' fun and trusted books and resources. All right, let's welcome on our special guest, Ken Ham, dinosaur expert and founder of Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and the Ark Encounter. Welcome, Ken. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
I'm so excited to share this conversation because my family has so enjoyed your books on dinosaurs, and we loved our visit to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And one thing I love about your books and your museums is that you help us to understand and really see how big or small these creatures were, because I think so often we think of dinosaurs as like these massive creatures, but you share in your book, Dinosaurs for Kids, you share about a dinosaur. I'm going to say this wrong. Compsognathus, is that correct?
I think that's pretty close.
Okay. The Compsognathus. And this was a small dinosaur. Can you describe this dinosaur for us?
Well, it was a small dinosaur. In fact, you know, a lot of people, a lot of children, and even parents are absolutely shocked to find out that some dinosaurs were the size of chickens. Can you believe that? It's interesting because, you know, when the word dinosaur was first invented, and that was in 1841 by an Englishman, his name was Richard Owen, and he used the word dinosaur, comes from two Greek words, dinos and saurus, which really meant terrible lizard. And so people got the idea that, oh, these are all great big terrible lizards, great big monsters, because, you know, the first skeletons that they found were of large creatures. And so there's sort of a shock for people to find out over time they've discovered more and more skeletons of creatures that they would call dinosaurs. They've, you know, they basically have skeletons that show they were like a reptile and they laid eggs, but they have certain features in their skull, certain holes and so on that make them a dinosaur. Well, now we found out that dinosaurs can be as small as chickens, and Compsognathus is a small dinosaur about the size of a chicken or a turkey, if you can believe that. You know, if it was found in Kentucky, I guess we'd have Kentucky Fried Dinosaur instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken. But Yeah, I don't know what it'd be like eating dinosaur. But it'd like that'd be like eating a lizard. That wouldn't be too good, would it?
I don't know what that's like either.
So Compsognathus is a small dinosaur. Here's another interesting thing. Because it's so small in the size of a chicken, right, evolutionists actually believe that it's closely related to birds. In fact, this sounds really absurd, but it's actually true. If you ask an evolutionist, are dinosaurs extinct? A lot of them say no, because you'll see them in your backyard at the bird feeder, because they believe that dinosaurs evolved into birds. And so today they believe birds are living dinosaurs. So you can imagine going out and saying, oh, look at the dinosaur out there fluttering around, you know, a little bird, a little hummingbird or something. But did you know that birds, you think about how we walk or how animals walk, and you know, we have our feet, then we have our knees, right? And then we have our thighs, and we sort of walk from our thighs, okay? Dinosaurs like Compsognathus, have that. They walk from their thighs, but birds, actually their knees are up. Imagine if your knee was up where your thigh is. Can you imagine? Your knees are up there. And that's what it's like with birds. So they actually, the dinosaurs, like Compsognathus, have the wrong hips to be the ones to evolve into birds. It doesn't even make sense because they don't have their knees up in their hips. So
it's like a totally different like bone structure is what you're saying.
A totally different bone structure for walking, yes.
Well, as my son was reading your book, he kept bringing up this creature that he was so fascinated with, the Predator X dinosaur. Can you share about this fascinating creature and how we can see God's design in it?
Aaron, is your son watching this program?
He will be.
He will be.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to disappoint him.
No. Okay.
Sorry to disappoint you. Predator X is not a dinosaur.
Oh, what was it?
Now I'll tell you why. The word dinosaur was invented to be a name for land animals that walked on the land, not for sea creatures and not for flying creatures.
Okay.
Right? Now, Predator X is a plesiosaurus, and it belongs to the plesiosaur order. And there's lots of different species within the plesiosaur order. Its skull is about 6 feet long, and they didn't swim like modern marine mammals. They use their flippers, you know, to propel them through the water and so on. And they even had enlarged red blood cells compared to other organisms. And so it could be that enabled them to store more oxygen and they could be under the water more. But it was a reptile that lived in the water. So that's not a dinosaur. When you think of plesiosaurs, when you think of Kronosaurus and so on, they're not dinosaurs. And by the way, the reptiles that flew, like your pterodactyls, your pterosaurs and so on, they're not dinosaurs either. Technically, the word dinosaur is only for the land animals that walked on the land that we group under that term of dinosaurs. So technically, to get it right, the word dinosaur is only for that particular group of animals that walked on the land. And we believe there's probably about 80 different kinds of dinosaurs. And of course, the Compsognathus would be in one of those kinds. So 80 different groups of dinosaurs, if you like, which would mean if there was 80 different groups of dinosaurs, 160 dinosaurs went on the ark because it'd be two of each kind. So the dogs, there's only one kind of dog. It's called a dog, right? Whereas there's different kinds of dinosaurs. There's only one kind of dog, different species. So you only needed two dogs on the ark. But you would have 160 dinosaurs on the ark. And here's something else. People have said to me over the years, they said, well, if God made dinosaurs, why don't we find the word dinosaur in the Bible? And I say, well, the same reason we don't find the word email in the Bible, because it's a modern word, right? It was invented in 1841. So we wouldn't find the word dinosaur in the Bible. So Predator X, oh yeah, big 6 foot long skull. A massive creature, but technically not a dinosaur. any of the reptiles that lived in the oceans or in the, you know, any water, or those that fly, your pterodactyls, your amphorhynchus, they're not dinosaurs. You know, the plesiosaurs, the mosasaurs, they're not dinosaurs. Now, here's the interesting thing. In the fossil record, they are found in the same rocks as dinosaurs. And that's one of the reasons why some people think they're dinosaurs. And according to evolutionists, you know, dinosaurs existed 65 to 200 million years ago. But we would say the fossils they find in the rocks are all from the flood of Noah's day. So when the flood of Noah's day occurred 4,300 years ago, it buried plesiosaurs, mosasaurs, and so on, along with what we call dinosaurs, all in the same rock layers. And they all lived at the same time because they were all living on this earth before the flood.
Fascinating. And I just keep thinking about, like, that's so much design, so much creativity for God to create all these different creatures. And I know when you mentioned, okay, you said 160 dinosaurs on the ark. I know the listeners are going to have the same question I had until I went and saw the ark encounter, is how did all of them fit? And at the ark encounter, we learned, like, these were probably very young and smaller dinosaurs. They're not full size. Is that correct?
Yeah, we would say God would send young adults on the ark, okay, ready for the new world. You know, we all get old. I mean, I'm getting older, right? I was born in 1951, so some people think I'm really old. but my grandchildren think I'm really old. But you know what? As you get old, you wear out, your body wears out, right? So I don't think God would have sent senior citizen dinosaurs on the ark to populate a new world. I don't think that would work very well. I think he would send young dinosaurs ready for the world. And, you know, dinosaurs hatch out of eggs. And the biggest egg we found is about the size of a football. I mean, when you think about that, now I'm not saying Noah took eggs on board. The Bible doesn't say that. But even a T-Rex egg, about the size of a football, say, and T-Rex grew to be pretty large. So, and they hatched out of eggs. They weren't that big. There's one dinosaur called the Mosasaurus that, when it hatched out of an egg, was the size of a mouse, actually. But, and then they would grow, and some of them over time would grow into large dinosaurs like your sauropods and your T-Rex and so on. So I think it would make sense God would have chosen young adults. And remember, God chose the animals to go on the ark. Noah didn't have to go out and say, oh, I'll take that one. Oh, let's get that one. How do we catch that one? The Bible actually says God brought the animals to Noah. And so it was a supernatural event. So I think that's important. So God would have chosen the right animals he wanted on the ark.
Are there any dinosaurs left today, or how would you answer that question?
Well, here's what I would say. As far as we know, we would say there are no dinosaurs left today, but we can't say absolutely there are no dinosaurs. And I'll tell you why. Because there are all sorts of places on the earth, like in the Amazon and, you know, jungles where we haven't necessarily been, or there could be animals hiding. You know, there have been times over the years that animals have been found living that they thought were extinct millions of years ago. A good example, for instance, I've been a number of times to Ripley's Aquarium at Pigeon Forge. Actually, it's at Gatlinburg, if you know Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge in Tennessee. And it's a big tourist area. And the Ripley's Aquarium there is a fascinating place. And they feature horseshoe crabs and living horseshoe crabs. And you know what they call them? Living fossils. And you know why they call living fossils? Because they thought they died out millions of years ago, or they exist millions of years ago in the fossil record, but they're still living today, and they look the same as the fossils in the fossil record, supposedly millions of years old, and so they call them living fossil. There are many animals today that they find. There's a fish called the coelacanth fish. They thought the coelacanth fish became extinct over 60 million years ago, and suddenly they found that fishermen were pulling them up out of the sea off the coast of Madagascar, and they were living very happily there. And so they call that a living fossil. So if we found a live dinosaur, I think they would just say, oh, it's a living fossil. Maybe one day someone will find a creature living in the Amazon or somewhere and we realize, wait a minute, that's a dinosaur. It's still living today. But as far as we know, they're all extinct, but they may not be. So maybe some of those young children say, I want to be an explorer one day and go and find a living dinosaur. You never know, you might, but you might not either.
Yeah. Well, we love on Nat Geo looking at how all these amazing creatures that God made, how they showcase his design. And really, that gives us so much evidence for what we believe when we see, you know, you look at the details of all these creatures and there's so much design and engineering and artistry. Like, God was an amazing inventor. Can you share with us, how can we see God's wisdom and creativity in dinosaurs?
Well, you know, one of my favorite sayings for children when you look at animals is this: they're designed to do what they do, and they do well, don't they? They do. Animals are designed beautifully to do what they do. I mean, when you think about it, any animal, I mean, it has legs, but then the legs have to have muscles, but then you have to have a brain that controls the muscles, and then you have to have nerves that connect the muscles, then you have to have the information to make the muscles work, to make the legs work, and then you got to have the right bones, and the bones are going to be the right strength. If they were too fragile, the bones would break, and you got to have bones built the right way, and then you got to have the ability to bend so that you can walk. I mean, look, here's the interesting thing, Aaron. I've seen TV programs where an archaeologist goes into a cave and comes out and he has a little arrowhead. And he's showing this little arrowhead and he says, oh, look at this, an arrowhead. That couldn't have been formed in a stream by water eroding it. Someone had to design this. Someone had to make it into an arrowhead. There's obviously intelligence behind this. And then those same archaeologists, if they're evolutionists, look at a complex animal with all their bones and muscles and brain and everything else and blood vessels and all that goes along with it. And they say, no intelligence, no intelligence. They look at a little arrowhead. Oh, look, intelligence. You know, that's why the Bible says in Romans 1:20 that it's obvious that God created. And if you don't believe, you're without excuse. And, you know, he designed them to do what they do. And they do it very, very well. Now, we haven't seen a living dinosaur, but we see their skeletons and we can see how they were designed and we find their eggs. And we even find, now here's something interesting. Did you know that scientists also have found in the fossil record dinosaurs and they found the blood cells and soft tissue? And you know why that's important? Because when they first found them, they said, this is impossible because they're millions of years old. There wouldn't be any blood cells. There wouldn't be any soft tissue. They have now found a lot of fossils have soft tissue, blood cells, and so on. Do you know what it really means? It really means they're not millions of years old. That's what it really means.
Yeah, because that wouldn't have lasted that long.
Absolutely.
Fascinating. I love, too, what you say about it just all works so well. Like, these creatures were made to work well. And it reminds me, in one of my books, I open a chapter with a quote from my son. When he was 4 years old, he told me, Mom, I like nature because it works well.
It does work well. It's designed to do what it does do, what it does do. It does do well, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I think it does do you. I do hope you do too, do you? There we are.
Well, can you share a word of wisdom with our listeners who might be interested in studying dinosaurs or working in paleontology or some field of dinosaurs as they get older?
Okay, my word of wisdom as a Christian is this. You see, over the years, I've been speaking on these topics for 50 years, right? So I'm probably a little older than all the children watching this. But I have been speaking for 50 years. I was a science teacher. But one of the questions I've heard over and over and over again from people is, well, how do we fit dinosaurs with the Bible? How do we do that? How do we fit dinosaurs with the Bible? Now, you might be shocked at my answer, but you've got to listen to what I say about it. My answer is, you don't. And they look at me and say, what? No, you don't fit dinosaurs with the Bible. You don't take man's interpretation of some bones out there that we find and try to fit that into the Bible. No, understand what the Bible is. You know what the Bible is? The Bible is, and here's one of my Bibles on my desk. The Bible is a revelation from God who knows everything there is to know about everything, who's always been there, who says, here is the history of the world, so you understand where we came from, you understand what has happened, the events of history. That then enables you to have the right way of thinking so you can study everything and so you could study dinosaurs. In other words, God's word says, first of all, he made everything. He made all the land animals on day six. Oh, wait a minute. Dinosaurs, what were they? Land animals. Oh, so what we today call dinosaurs, he made all the land animal kinds, all the dinosaur kinds on day six. That's right. And they live beside man. So we know they live beside Adam and Eve because he made Adam and Eve on the same day. We know what they ate originally. This may shock you, but all dinosaurs were vegetarian originally because Genesis chapter 1 verse 30 says all the animals were vegetarian. Now, because of sin, things changed. And after that, there were animals that started eating animals and so on. But originally, they were all vegetarian. Even a T-Rex originally was vegetarian. And by the way, you need sharp teeth to chomp away on plants and branches and fruits and whatever. And then sin entered the world. And because of sin, death. Now, death came after man's sin. So you couldn't have had dead dinosaurs millions of years mm-hmm. before man's sin. And dinosaurs and people lived at the same time. And there was no dead dinosaurs until after sin. And then the Bible says God sent the flood of Noah's day 4,300 years ago, and two of every kind, seven pairs of some, but two of every kind of land dwelling, everything animal went on the ark. That would include what we call dinosaurs. And those that didn't drown, some of them turned into fossils. That's why we find fossils of dinosaurs. And then they came off the ark, increased in number, and moved out over the earth, which is why I believe we have dragon legends, because many of your dragon legends, the descriptions of the creatures sound like dinosaurs. And so I think many of those what are called dragons were actually dinosaurs, what we today call dinosaurs. And then over time, many of them, they all became extinct. Lots of animals became extinct because of changing conditions on the earth, people killing them, diseases, killing each other, whatever, all sorts of reasons. And so once you start from God's word in the history he gives us, then you've got the right way of understanding dinosaurs. Then you can go and do a lot more study on the bones, on the soft tissue. You can do research in a lab and so on. But make sure you've got the right way of thinking about them first. That starts from the Bible.
So good. Start with God's word. And I think that's true and so important for any study of science that we're beginning with.
What's important for anything, every area, everything, you got to start from God's word.
Yeah. Ken, this has been such a fun conversation. Thank you for helping us understand just how wonderfully God made these creatures. I'll be sure to link in our show notes to your wonderful books on dinosaurs, including Dinosaurs for Kids and Dinosaurs of Eden, because I love is what you just summarized in a couple minutes there. You really unpack in these books with visuals to help us understand everything that you've been talking about. So I'll link to those as well as the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Hey, thank you. My pleasure.
Wow, that was so fun. It's amazing thinking about these magnificent creatures that God designed and how they once roamed the earth. Listeners, if you are interested in dinosaurs or have more curious questions, pick up a copy of Dinosaurs for Kids or Dinosaurs of Eden at the link in our show notes. I know you will love these books as much as our family has. And check out all of Ken Ham's books published by Masterbooks at the link in our show notes. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this special guest episode, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.